Dumelang Sanbonang Abusheng Goeiemôre. Good morning. Ke Matsoroni. Ra loge. Bonjour. Welcome, good folks. Also welcome to members of the Fourth Estate. They are also entitled to a cup of tea and the paltry breakfast. Could someone kindly close those two doors? I'm sure we can all see that there's no scope or room for any mistake today. Today we are proudly South African. Proudly South African. Even the bag that has been allocated to your good self, proudly South African goods. I would like to welcome the leader of the delegation, Manana Moroka. Welcome, ma'am. When you do your presentation, you will introduce the other members of your delegation. I would just like to say that, perhaps by way of opening remarks before we start, that's a kind reminder that let's switch off our cell phones. Somebody's cell phone is giving us that notice. Just to say that the compact that we have as members of parliament with proudly South African is to facilitate and assist wherever we can in order to enhance the work that you do. Because at the end of the day, the aim and objective is one. What can we do in the best interest of all South Africans, with particular emphasis on South Africans as economic citizens? What can we do to make a better life for them? So the objective that we have is one. And then having this common objective, in your presentation, I would appeal that you speak, give us the report that you want to give us, but also lay out the challenges that you face. Because if you are doing any good work, there will always be challenges. There will be failures that we encounter and difficulties. Our primary responsibility here is to see where we can assist you. So even there are a number of agencies that we have had reports from, agencies in the COTIS table, and in certain instances there are overlaps, so we'll ask people, how do you relate to your peers? Where you find that people work as silos, where you find that there's negative instead of constructive competition amongst the agencies. So in a word, I'm saying that take us into confidence, and where we can assist, will do so. Where there's the constructive criticism to be meted out in the work that we do, or in regard to the department, or in regard to any other agencies, point that out. And our responsibility is to facilitate a synergy and constructive working together. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will just introduce my team. On my right is Jaline Duclair. She's the Marketing and Communications Executive. And on my left is Richard Legger. He's the Website Manager and assisting us with our IT issues. Then we have Mabusha Mate, was the Sector Manager and is defected and moved into the private sector now. He's working for SAPI. And we have Christine Momberg, our Human Resource Manager, and Eustace Mashindiye is our Chief Financial Officer. This is the executive team.
Thank you very much. I'm sure he has not defected. He has just spread your skills elsewhere.
Thank you for the opportunity provided to brief the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry on the South African Buy Local campaign, publicly known as the Proudly South Africa. We take pride in sharing information for the purpose of deliberating the future of what we believe to be a proven key domestic resource in achieving the national priority for a better life for all in the context of South Africa and Africa. The purpose is to brief the Portfolio Committee on the evolution, challenges, progress, and performance of the Proudly South African campaign to enable the committee to reflect on the future role of the campaign in the South African context and to provide guidance on the way forward, including an executive reporting authority and possible financial models. We have endeavored to succinctly capture the evolution of this dynamic organization, benchmarking its progress against our past performance as well as that of the 20-year-old Australian-made campaign on which the South African Buy Local initiative has been modeled. We have color-coded the various sections for ease of reference. Just to give you the history or rationale for the Proudly South African campaign. In the early 1990s, the South African Clothing and Textile Workers Union took a resolution to KUSATU to request the launch of a national buy local campaign. Once the country achieved democracy in 1994, there was a renewed call from organized labor to use the upsurge of patriotism to launch a buy local campaign to build the economy. South Africa's miracle political transformation needed to be followed by measures to ensure that all South African citizens enjoy economic freedom as well. At the time, markets around the world were also beginning to open up as a result of the Uruguay GATT negotiations, the forerunner of the WTO and the liberalizations of markets. This was implemented after the Marrakesh Agreement in October 1994 and resulted in an increase in imported foreign products due to the lifting of sanctions and the opening up of markets, highlighting the need to boost local production and job creation. The challenge was to balance the need for foreign direct investment with the retention of existing jobs and the creation of additional sustainable job opportunities, especially of those labor-intensive sectors with the potential to safeguard jobs and create job opportunities. The Buy Local campaign was seen as an inclusive model to achieve this aim. The commitment to this Buy Local campaign was confirmed during the 1994 presidential job summit called by the former president, Nelson Mandela. According to the presidential job summit, it was agreed that the neglect parties will embark, and this is a quotation, on a buy South African campaign as soon as possible after the job summit. The aim of the campaign will be to promote demand for South African products and services that embody high standards of quality. A key component of this initiative will be the establishment of a new label for qualifying products and services. The Department of Trade and Industry will lead an interaction between the South African Bureau of Standards and the South African National Accreditation System and the NEDLAC parties to develop and implement the label and its accreditation. In addition to the intended economic benefits, Buy Local in itself embodies national patriotism and pride. The pride of the nation is indeed the essence of the proudly South African brand and points directly to the relevance of the Buy Local campaign, which was launched as Proudly South African, the unifying slogan which would be the public face of the campaign. The NEDLAC Trade and Industry Chamber was assigned the task of developing the concept into a practical application. The NEDLAC constituencies agreed that this concept should be based on the four criteria: local content, quality, adherence to environmental practices, and fair labor standards. The NEDLAC constituencies also conducted research, and this was funded by the Fund for Research and Industrial Development, that is the Fridge Research Agency or Program. In 2001, the constituencies reached consensus and the Proudly South African campaign was born out of the Buy Local commitment. Proudly SA's mandate was historically linked strongly to that of the GTI in terms of its local economic impact, and it was considered to be a strategic fit in terms of industrial policy, and it was located in the Enterprise and Industry Development Division. It is in line also with the World Trade Organization's regulations on protectionism. The expected outcomes, it was also included or reinforced again at the GDS, the Growth and Development Summit of 2003, and as the outcomes of the GDS are also included in ASGISA. The expected outcomes of the GDS and ASGISA requires a high level of responsibility. To effectively fulfill its mandate, Proudly South African requires the necessary resources, a high level of accountability, including direct oversight from the GTR or any other government agency, with the portfolio committee having some direct oversight in terms of this. The vision and mission of Proudly SA, I would just say that we focus on the economic growth and prosperity in South Africa, and in terms of the mission, it's a competitiveness driver, and we try and focus on quality. The mandate of Proudly SA is really to safeguard jobs and increase job creation through the promotion of locally manufactured products and services. The criteria we have already highlighted to you. We do have strategic partners, and Proudly SA, in terms of our board, the four major constituencies are represented, which creates an excellent platform for dialogue and promoting the interest of the campaign, which is in the national interest and of strategic importance to all constituencies. In terms of the value provided to our constituency, the logo represents an assurance of quality and compliance with the campaign criteria for labor. It represents an opportunity to help increase job creation and protect current jobs. And to give you an example, for instance, sometimes it's not only assisting our members, we also assist other industries and sectors. The television industry, for instance, is experiencing problems currently. They used to have a 68% market share, and this has dropped down to 30%. And through a consultative process with Kusatu, ourselves, the GTI, and the retailers, we are trying to ensure that we safeguard the jobs of those people who might be retrained. So, and also with the hotels, as you know, the hotels replenish TV sets on a regular basis once a year. Sohasun has assured us that they will partner with our local television manufacturers if they adhere to certain quality criteria, and the unit itself is also attractive and fitting with the ambience of the of Sohasun's brand. Again, in terms of buy local, the Australian made is also now, what we do is we focus a lot on quality, and Australian make is also focusing on quality enhancement and building them. Proudly SA has realized from the onset that quality is key to the development of a competitive brand. Hence, quality is one of the four campaign criteria, and we focus on that within the organization. Why local? According to Portland studies and also Pennsylvania studies, they maintain that for every $100 spent at a locally owned business, $45 stays in the local economy, creating jobs and expanding the tax base of government. But also for every $100 spent at a national chain or a franchise store, only $14 remain in the community. Again, what differences do we achieve out of this? Locally owned businesses in South Africa embrace that which makes our nation unique and help to promote the character of South African neighborhoods. The spaza shop, the local cereal of fresh fruit markets, our spa retailers or pick and pay retail outlets. In terms of fostering local creation, supporting local impacts positively on local job creation and prosperity that is sustainable in the long run. Buy local promotes local economic growth, which is necessary to rid our country of poverty. It could also be argued that smaller neighborhood businesses could help to reduce the demands on the public infrastructure if we look at the environment, such as roads, traffic, transport, and other services. Again, local business owners and employers often possess a level of expertise and a passion for the products that they sell that is unmatched by employees and managers of national chains. They also tend to have a greater interest in getting to know their customers, who are, after all, also their neighbors. Simply put, local owners and employees take a special pride in their trade. In terms of conserving the tax money, small neighborhood and downtown businesses require less public infrastructure and make more efficient use of city services compared to the big stores, which are far more costly in terms of road maintenance and police services. Again, we have a number of choices also in terms of local businesses which are offered to our South African citizens. It also, the local businesses also nurture the community in terms of that. There is also a strong bias in terms of preserving entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs, they fuel the economic innovation and prosperity and serve as a key means for families to move out of low-wage jobs and into the middle class. Plus, the success of locally owned independent businesses provide real-life inspiration to our young people, proving that they can stay in South Africa and prosper on their own terms. It also ensures that South Africa stands out from the crowd, showing that we have locally homegrown products. To give you a comparison with, again, what we said, that it is based on the Australian-made model. Australian made, it started in 1986 and it has been established for 20 years. It was funded by government for more than 13 years. Again, it has 1,000 to date, according to the latest research of November 2006. It has 1,200 active members with 8,000 products. And they are repositioning themselves to say Australian made, global quality. Proudly South African has only been established 5 years ago. And within that 5 years, we only received government funding for 2.5 years. which makes it difficult for us to implement our mandate. It's a Section 21 company, and it has board representatives of the four major constituencies. In our 5 years, comparing it to Australia in terms of the number of active members that we have 1,184 active members and 7,269 products. And since inception, we have been focusing on quality. We now have a quality certificate, an ISO 9001 quality certificate. There are also areas where both the campaigns, by local campaigns, are still having problems, and it's in terms of some of the words that are used, the Australian flag, made in Australia, product of Australia. We do have all these problems still. Both organizations are still having problems with that. We have problems in terms of educating our consumers and going out. We've been focusing on above the line, and it's only now that we are all focusing on the uptake and continuous improvement of asking our consumers to buy proud South African products. The Australian Made has also are more far advanced in their research. They have actually done some research to show which one out of the Made, the Australian flag, the map of Australia, is more prominent in Australia. And the Australian Made logo has 80%, 86% awareness. Then again, they also did a country view internationally in terms of Australian Made products and also other countries in terms of buy local. And you will see that in Australia, 74% are aware of the Australian logo and also do buy the Australian Made. With the UK, it has gone down. They buy anything. They are not loyal to really their own home products. But in all the other countries, you can see there's a strong bias towards locally made products. The other area where the campaigns, both campaigns, have problems, and this has come up time and again when we go out and speak to South African citizens, is the issue between price versus quality. Australian Made has been there for 20 years, and it is still also grappling with the issue in terms of price versus quality. And you will find that with Australia, the young set believe in cheaper, buying cheaper, whereas in South Africa, our young markets are more brand conscious. They don't mind buying imported, more expensive products. But in terms of the mature set for both studies, it shows that the mature people are looking for quality products and are more patriotic than the younger set. We then did a comparative study in terms of overall awareness. And the yellow and orange reflects the data for research on Proudly South African. We do biannual research in June and November. We get our results. We have just received our results, and we could not include them in this presentation. But to show you, the green is the Australian one. As you know, we had some negative perception in terms of Proudly SA between 2004. And it now shows a steady increase going up for 2006 from November, and it's 79%. With Australia, it's 95%. It has just dropped by 1%. We hope to exceed that number soon also. Then also in terms of purchase behavior, we are showing you our trends since 2003 to date. And Australia has a purchase uptake of 67%. And Proudly South African stands at 59% at the moment. In terms of our outreach going out into the provinces, we did an outreach to Limpopo, Northwest, Free State, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. And we've experienced some dips in terms of awareness, and we hope that will increase. The other areas, your Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape, were always given more support from Proudly South African. we are trying to ensure that there's a national outreach in terms of that. Therefore, what we can say out of the research is that 95% of respondents agree that people like them would support the campaign again in the future, and 84% they know that they will buy a good quality product. Again, just to give you Proudly SA's membership analysis, we have 1,131 members. You must understand that it's dynamic. We lose members from month to month. The biggest ones are education and development, IT and manufacturing. Those are our biggest sectors at the moment. The membership fee is calculated at 0.1% of annual turnover. And a lot of the members, there's a misperception in terms of that. They think that we are asking for 1 million. It's actually capped. The minimum rate is 570 rand, inclusive of that, and the maximum is 570,000 rand. We do not go over that. The only time that we get millions is when we recruit sponsors, and that is where we ask for millions. Other than that, it really is kept between that. There are key benefits that we offer to members in terms of brand development, inter-member trade, in terms of procurement, and this has worked for us. There are CEO forums that we conduct, and in this one-to-one interaction, Proudly SA, people understand it more than what they understood the campaign to be. There are success stories that we can give to you. We've just highlighted a few. Clarence was the first proudest South African town to receive that status. We've had some iron and steel and SMME getting a 3 million government tender. We didn't give the name of the company because they didn't want us to do that, to disclose that. But the other companies through the DTI have exhibited internationally, are your Banditos, your Gut Filters, Lab Desk, the Walk and Talk Tours, and also Justic have also achieved some procurement processes from West Bank. In terms of our strategic partners, we tend to ensure that we work with key stakeholders that will impact positively on the bottom line of our members. These include all spheres of government organization with a strong focus on marketing our national efforts and also focusing on quality and training and skills development as well. Our founder status at the moment, in 2004, both government and the founder status and our members were not happy with the status of Proudly South African in terms of the benefits and in terms of how we were working. Government then suspended its funding in 2004. The sponsors also wanted to pull out of the campaign. It was then decided that we can turn them into ordinary members. As a result, it impacted on our reserve because the government grant and also the founder sponsors funding, we were using that for our operational cost. The membership fee is used strictly for marketing purposes. We plow that back into whatever activities that we agree with the specific members that we have. We have started negotiations with SABC. They do support us, but we need a new contract. SAA, they have agreed, the CEO and also the marketing team. But as you know, they are busy with their turnaround strategy with CBRI, and they have not yet given us the assurance or lack of intent to say that we are going ahead. We hope that will be done. Telkom, we have spoken to them. They will come back again with that. Old Mutual has declined. They say they will remain as an ordinary member. Eskom has agreed to continue being a sponsor. Petro SA has also agreed. Valor World has confirmed that they will not renew at all. We have also approached other BEE sponsors, because it is still in negotiation, we will not give you the names at this stage. again, just to say the sources of funding in the past were from these three. Currently, the main source of revenue, it comes from memberships, the membership fee. This is how we use our the sources of funding, just to give you a pie chart in terms of that. That 49% comes from members, and 32% from sponsors, and 20% are coming from government. And in terms of how we use it, 49% is for marketing purposes, staffing cost is 23%, and administration is 21% in terms of that. Then in terms of our business model, to say how have we changed the organization. We were focusing a lot on brand awareness and social awareness. We are now focusing on the business value add. The members are saying to us, how do you impact on our bottom line? It is more difficult to maintain, but we need to do that. And how we are doing that is to go out there and educate members, South Africans, that it's not good enough just to say I'm proud of South African. You need to go out and actually purchase proud of South African products. The downfall on our members is that they don't use the logos on their products, which makes it so impossible for South Africans to support them. But we are trying to work with our members regarding that. In terms of finance, in terms of our progress and our challenges, the campaign's progress is hampered by uncertainty about its executive reporting authority. It seems that Proudly South African is not considered to be a Council of Trade and Industry institution, and this affects its level of accountability, funding potential, as well as its participation in government budgeting process. The campaign had followed the appropriate budgeting process, but was not included in the MCEF process. Feedback from the DTI in this regard seems to confirm the belief that Proudly SA was incorrectly classified as a COTI or a non-governmental organization. In the event of Proudly SA's COTI status not being conclusively confirmed, it is advisable that the issue should be brought to the Metal Trade and Industry Chamber for further deliberation. The approach will facilitate the development of a report to the Department of Industry with outcomes and possible recommendations to the portfolio committee, which will then also be discussed at cabinet, where it will be decided on the future or the relevance of the campaign in the country or the transfer of the campaign to a suitable department or, in the unlikely event, an appropriate exit strategy. Clarity, therefore, is required from the portfolio committee in terms of our medium to long-term prospects and continued relationship with government. Developing an appropriate funding structure for the campaign, which is especially relevant for the campaign's inclusion in the MTEF budget process, is critical to its future and accountability to government. If the campaign is allocated the appropriate resources, it will be more accountable to the portfolio committee and the appropriate minister, enhancing oversight and ensuring regular meetings to the portfolio committee in terms of progress reports, etc. Again, in terms of other issues with our branding, good progress has been made in terms of our brand. And as the Australian made example illustrates, the process of entrenching brand value and loyalty is continuous and has various dimensions and can take decades to achieve significant impact. In terms of members, I would like to appeal to the portfolio to the portfolio committee in terms of that. Oh, I'm sorry, I was on procurement. My apologies. There have been claims of over-promising and under-delivering issues, but we have addressed that. And now we have a good corporate governance structure in place. We've come up with a turnaround strategy. The areas where members are still complaining is the issue around preferential procurement. Apparently, this was agreed to when the campaign itself was established. We are negotiating with the DTI and also National Treasury, but we hope that the portfolio committee would also ensure that we are included in the Municipal Finance Management Act in terms of local content and with specific reference to proudly South African members. And again, with the procurement issues, that is basically what the problems are. And members are saying that the reason why they are leaving the organization is that they've been with the organization since 2001, but we are not developing tangible benefits for them. And the tangible benefit is that preferential procurement. Even if it's mentioned that they don't always get it, but it will also ensure that we get more members joining the Progress of African campaign. The other area in terms of the GDS report, as we highlighted in the history, is the area around the country of origin labor, which we believe that if we are given the custodian to manage this, it will assist us. You find that some companies use the Made in South African logo with the flag, and they do not want to join Proudly SA. I must again re-emphasize that joining the campaign is voluntary. We don't coerce anyone to join the campaign. Again, just in terms of operational progress, an effective and efficient quality management system has been included. The standards and requirements are there because we felt that we cannot ask members to adhere to quality when we also don't have a quality management system in place. We do have an ISO 9000 accreditation. We have been surveyed twice by the South African Bureau of Standards, last year in November and again in February, and we are due for another one in August again. And our certificate is at until 2006 and 2007. Then again, the campaign has upgraded some of its IT in order to enhance efficiency. We now have a single view of our customers or our members. However, we need to continuously enhance and upgrade the capacity of our system. And this is where funding is required because our system is not fully integrated with the front and the back office integration. We are busy looking into that at the moment. In terms of human resources, we have a small core of dedicated staff. We are infused by the proudly South African spirit and who carry through the proudly South African ethos in their work approach and interaction with members and stakeholders. We have also given you our organogram, which has changed a bit, and that is for members to look at. We've even given you our employment equity status. There are three slides in terms of that. If there are any comments, we would appreciate that. We will now take you to our Proudly South African marketing strategy. The board has agreed on 12 flagship projects, and these are the projects where we spend most of our resources on, as agreed with the board. And the consumer education outreach is essential to promote an understanding of the rationale behind buy local and the accompanying purchase behavior. The local support, local purchase behavior of consumers represents the real power of the campaign because this is what helps local businesses to grow, create employment opportunities, grow and reinvest in our economy. And to give you examples here, we believe that big corporations like your Old Mutual, that have listed offshore, they became big because of local support. And that is how they started going overseas. And we are saying we would like to ensure that more companies also have a strong market base in South Africa so that they can also list offshore or attract foreign investors also. In the Northern Cape, we are just highlighting to you our progress to date, that we have, as the CEO requested, meetings. We've had all those interactions in terms of industrial theatre and also in-store promotion. It's exactly the same for Gauteng. We are now working very closely with the director of 2010 in Gauteng. We hope that we will be included or become a strategic partner of the city of Johannesburg. Then again, with Limpopo, Limpopo has already included us in the 2010 committee, and they've asked us to develop a social cohesion document. Social cohesion, what they apparently require is that they say, how can we say we are proudly South African, and yet we don't sing the national anthem, or we sing two parts of the national anthem. We don't know what the five colors of the flag represent. We don't know what the elements of the code of arms stand for. The issues in terms of xenophobia, how do we address that? And how do we become user-friendly for preparation for 2010 and beyond? They've also asked us to assist them with a document in terms of volunteerism. Northwest, the Premier postponed our meeting. It was supposed to have been yesterday on the 19th, and it has been scheduled for July. Then for the Free State, again, the DG has asked us to present a social cohesion document, which we will present to them in July. But we have also conducted industrial theatre and also in-store promotion. In Mpumalanga, we are meeting with the DG again. We met with the first DG of 2010, and I think, as everyone knows, there was that debate in terms of who was the real DG of 2010. We are going back to present to the Premier, and it seems that they will also want a social cohesion document to be developed. The Western Cape, we presented to the Economic Development Economic Development and Social Development Executive Director, and he has agreed that he will see us and present this to the Executive Mayor for her input in terms of that. We are working very closely also in terms of the clothing and textile issue with Foschini Group at the moment. The Eastern Cape, we haven't received a date yet. KwaZulu-Natal, we presented also to the head of the department, and they've asked us to develop a cooperative strategy, which we have presented to them. These are just slides showing you the consumer outreach. In terms of the radio campaign, we've been in radio, educational. We have proudly South Africa. The reach has been over 59 million. Because we use the public broadcasting services. The other ones, print media, we also have that, and online media. Then we have launched our Proudly South African magazine, which you have a copy in front of you. The Homegrown Awards, we had our Homegrown Awards now in May. And again, to reiterate what the president had said, was that, you know, what is so special about a company that carries the proudly South African symbol? And he says, yes, it meets the standards set by the campaign with regard to the level of local content, quality and labor practice, but perhaps that there is a deeper and more significant difference. Such a company is not necessarily bigger, better or more successful, but it is making a statement that is at once a statement of origin, a statement of purpose, and a statement of optimism. The symbol imbues such a company with a unique and uplifting national identity. It brands its products with the same sense and provides the people in that company with a motivating and unifying principle that ties their work to a larger purpose, the building of our country. These are just slides in terms of that. Then again, in terms of ensuring that we focus also in developing towns and cities. As we said, Clarence was the first town to be given the Proudly South African status. And again, Albertina was one of them also, the second one to follow. And in September, we have our Proudly South African Week. The board has asked us to extend it to a month. budget permitting. I must emphasize on that one. And again, the month is to re-emphasize the need for citizens to invest in our companies, to buy local produced products and services, since it is their cumulative support that helps local companies to grow. The youth campaign, we are working very closely with the National Youth Council, the South African Youth Commission, and also with the Department of Education in the EMS booklet for grade 9s and 10s. Proudly South African, there is a section provided for Proudly South African in terms of that. Then again, with the clothing and textile strategy, as you know that there has been a culture set, and we are going around speaking to various retailers. We met with Actors and Foschini, and also with Mr. Price, to see how we can work together to ensure that this period that we've been given is actually implemented efficiently before the 2 years is up and beyond. And those are just some of the campaigns that we've developed for the various companies. The endorsement campaign, at this stage, the endorsement campaign is exclusive to individuals who, through their public support of the campaign, set an example and demonstrate their commitment towards buy local. The president, Mr. Mbeki, was featured as the first endorser after the first homegrown awards in 2005. And those are the endorsement inserts that we have in terms of that. Then in terms of 2010, I think the challenge for Mr. Minister Pahad is that it should be seen that the country is united and confident, and it's all about who we are and what we want to become. We've shown you the objectives, but our objective as Proudly South African is that supports Proudly as a focus on job creation, safeguarding of jobs, economic growth and quality enhancement, create maximum value for Proudly South African members and profiling the campaign, increase the base of qualifying members to raise overall standards and pride, and the aim is to be included as a partner or as a registration authority for 2010 where possible. And that is the reason why we are going around the provinces and speaking to the hosting cities and also to the local municipalities. Proudly SA aims to contribute to a successful event and support for the nine nations. Our positioning statement, quality enhancement is important, and it's all a conduit for members and companies to be empowered with information and entrench the Proudly South African ethos. And the reason why they've also asked us to develop a social cohesion document, it is really based on this, because this is what we have sold to the provinces, that we need to project and instill a culture of caring for the environment, safety, vigilance, helpfulness, friendliness towards visitors. And we combine that with workshops to help capacitate training skills and skills development. We work with our agencies or sister agencies where possible in terms of that. Then again, what we highlight that there is a 2010 parallel process, and in terms of that, there are certain objectives that need to be met in terms of that. And the important one is the manufacturing of corporate clothing for service personnel, volunteers, ushers, security staff, and sports officials. This is for the Confederation Cup also, and these are the areas where we believe that there are buy local opportunities. We do understand that the stadiums themselves are FIFA specifications, but the funding comes from government, and the raw material can be sourced locally. So out of that 15 billion, what we are questioning is what percentage of that 15 billion will stay in the country through buy local opportunities, not necessarily to Proudly South African members only, but to South African companies. And also for the textile and clothing footwear in the quotas, it is also an opportunity to be included in that parallel process. We also have the Socorex coming, and we hope that some of our manufacturers will also be given an opportunity to exhibit at the Socorex that is coming in terms of that. Then again, for government, it's government elections during that period. And what we are advising government across is to say that you are funding the 2010 event. Is it not possible to go back to FIFA and negotiate with FIFA that the logo is used tactically to ensure that the South African citizen can see that they have benefited out of 2010? We all agree, not everyone can get projects out of 2010. And in this instance, to give you examples, is to say that, for instance, that the logo can be used on the salary slips of those subcontractors only, and there should be strict monitoring procedures put in place to say that it's used for that. Because at the end of the day, chairperson, if you have to go to your constituency and people say, what have you done for me, Mr. Martin, you can at least say, you have been employed by a 2010 project since 2006 to date. And your salary slip shows you that that is included. And it's just to ensure that we have a successful 2010, that everybody understands through that process that they have benefited out of 2010. At the end, we show you also 14 projects where we believe are by local opportunities, but we will not go into those 14 projects in terms of that. Therefore noting unless there are any questions in terms of that. Then again, for us, what we would like to say is that Proudly South African has contributed to economic development. It's an internationally acceptable development for local, regional economies and communities, and it can impact positively on the return on an investment of key our partners. It's a key domestic marketing resource. Again, it's a sustained marketing program, and really it's a virtuous circle. As we help companies to grow and they expand and they export, we get new companies that we develop, especially our SMEs, because they need that support. We need to move them from an informal sector into the formal sector. We also speak to big business to say, your CSI, what do you do with your CSI? Sometimes you find that they've been supporting the same initiative for 10 to 15 years. When do they become independent and move into the formal sector? And we need to move them into that sector as well. In terms of contribution to business, it benefits all, especially with big corporates such as Old Mutual, Spar, Pick and Pay. They all own their growth to local purchasing power, and that is what we are saying, that SMEs can also become as big as all these other companies, that just a few that we have highlighted, to grow. Because of our purchasing power, Old Mutual has listed offshore, Spar is in Africa, Pick and Pay is growing, West Bank, etc. The list is endless in terms of that. Labor, they are assisting us, they are really a strategic partner for us. Even with the Christmas campaign, they go out of their way to ensure that consumers buy local during the Christmas period. Community, they work with us in terms of educating the youth. Gender issues are discussed also, and also opportunities for those that are disabled. For government, again, it ensures that there's a sustainable economy. There's a vibrant economic environment in the country to attract further investment into the country. And we are not a competitor to business at all. It's important to highlight that we are enhancing and assisting. For consumers, again, it's a quality brand, that they can be assured if they see that logo, they are buying a quality brand in terms of that. The future for us, for Proudly SA, it's attaining financial security, and which executive authority should we report to. And maybe we were thinking that we could change our company form from a Section 21 to become a public entity, or maybe to develop a commercial wing so that we can have some sustainable income for us. Or again, also to be included in the preferential procurement process, so as part of a member retention strategy. And again, to develop the DTI partnership. There is a shareholders compact which we signed with the DTI, but because the DTI states that we are incorrectly classified as an agency, the DG has not signed it as yet. We are hoping that this will be signed as soon as possible. There are issues around the custodianship in terms of the country of the region, and the SA flag made in South Africa and product of South Africa, because again, that will ensure member retention going forward. Again, we hope to roll out of the regional strategy because we are only based in Johannesburg, but we do not want a regional office in all the provinces. We are only looking at three regional offices, a coastal region and two inland regions, and that's all. Again, from the portfolio committee, we request that you consider our relevance as an organization, and also to consider, maybe not now, which appropriate executive authority is the one that we should be aligned to, and appropriate sustainable funding until we can become self-sufficient. And really, that is all. And we thank you for giving us this opportunity.
I would like to thank the CEO for a very comprehensive and full brief. I would now like to avail the opportunity to members to pose questions or make comments. Unless, CEO, you still wanted members of your team to elaborate on certain aspects before we give to the members. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fine.
I
was correct, you gave an exhaustive brief. Good folks, members, Professor Chang and Mr. Labuskagne, and I've also noted Ntate Hasmeni and Comrade Lali, Comrade Turifan, in that order. Madam Chang.
Thanks for the CEO, right?
Yes.
You know, your presentation, you know. I must give you my sympathy that is, you know, you don't have funds from the government. To me, my personal belief, the funds and of this the proud of South African has to be funded by government. Because, you know, there is no, I don't think that is any of the sense, you know, you can get, you know, that the funding from the private entities. Because, you know, if I look on your presentation, you know, if you want to prove something, you must have some selling points. But we don't have anything at the moment. You can't say your quality is good. You can't say anything's good. And to me, proud of South African, it's not a product. It's just like a research and the development. It's an organization that the government has to be willing to spend money. You know, not to use this institution to ask the business person to put into money. Because if I'm a business person, I'm not going to put money in this one, because I'm going to ask what benefit at the end of the day I will get it. You know, because at the moment, you know, that if you're talking about, you know, all the goods, you know, really, I can't see any part of we can say we are proud, but that is we try to build up. Right? And you can answer me why you go to Woolworths. Because we know Woolworths build up, the good quality. That is what I'm saying. And I personally don't believe this entity should go to funds from you know, to ask them to put 0.1% with the membership. You know, I think that is this. If you want to make this campaign to be successful, you must get, you know, the government, you know, to fund it at the beginning. Until you stand on your foot, the people realize that is what we offering. If made in South Africa, is quality, the quality of service, the quality of every single thing. You know, then you can ask the people to say now you have to return. What do we do for you? Thank you.
Prof. Cheng, thank you very much. Mr. Lazarus Carpenter.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for your presentation. I don't know if your presentation is in writing or you were speaking ad lib from your notes, but it would be very interesting to have the written document because it sets it out so succinctly. Problem, I have a great aversion to these overhead projectors. I think it's been proved that you get confused and you're not sure and you're trying to look and listen. But be that as it may, that's a pet peeve I have. just one or two little questions. Are you a trademark or not? You know, is it a registered trademark that only, you know, gives you the rights of an ordinary trademark? Secondly, the fee structure, page 11 of your slides. You have a fee structure. Oh, and they have special categories for schools, NGOs, community groups, etc. Could you just elaborate on that? If my school wants to have a proudly South African, where do you take it? How do you take it from there in practice? And then perhaps on page 13, when you talk about the strategic partnerships, MOU with the, say, Umsombombu Fund. What does that entail? Do they stick it on their letterheads, or do they just promote it, or what exactly does that entail? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Labaskasny. Next, Comrade Hasmin.
Chair, we want you to commend the presentation given to us by the CEO, and I must say that the aim has been very far from us ever since we have been. Maybe I can't remember whether they appeared before the committee before, the first time. Mm-hmm. It is the first time. So it would mean that we would have to engage with them time and again, you know, so that we can actually do some work and also assist them in terms of the challenges that they face. I hear that they fall under the DTI, but they are a Section 21 company. They would want us to assist them so that they become a public entity. I don't know how far have you worked with the DTI, presented your case to the DTI, and what has been their response so far about the challenges that you are facing in terms of, particularly with regard to funding. You want to be included in the procurement, preferential procurement system. What are the reasons for that? Do you want to, that government must award some other procurement to your members, which are the big companies? And then what happens to the people that this procurement process or system are meant for? What would then happen? You know, because I take it is meant for those small and emerging businesses, cooperatives, construction companies, you know, from broad-based black economic empowerment. So now when these opportunities are taken over by your members, which I think most of them are big companies, what would happen? Your work, proudly South African is very important. We would need to know how much have you worked with the emerging broad-based black economic empowerment businesses, cooperatives, and SMEs. how much can you quantify the work that you have done with them? Because most of the products, like the craft works, found, you know, that are South African are found from those Ndebele people and others, you know, from those remote areas in our country. How much have you assisted them so that those products would be sold by the very members, Pick and Pace and so on? And because sometimes even ourselves, when we get to the retail shops and other shops, we don't really see, you know, we cannot distinguish between those products that are South African and the products that are from abroad or other countries, and the Pick and Pace and all the members that you have indicated. So we would want to really hear from you as to how are you promoting those products from the SMMEs, particularly in rural areas, so that your work would assist to actually bring up the second economy. Same. In terms of that also, how do you work hand in glove with FIDA, which is an organization under DTI that is meant to facilitate the growth of SMMEs and cooperatives? Thank you.
Comrade Kasmini, thank you very much. Comrade Sash.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. Maybe I'll join other several thinking in South Africa coming before. But let me start from the last page 51. The request they are requesting us as a committee. The bullet point number 2. You're asking us to consider guidance on reporting structure. I just want to show for the past 7 years, you are asking us to advise you on reporting structure. What does that mean? Do you mean that you didn't know for the past 7 years who should you report to? Where have you been reporting for the past 7 years? Unless you are saying to us, where have you been reporting to? You don't seem to behave about that reporting structure. The last great point there, to consider country of origin labeling stroke SA flag. What does that mean? Do you want not to be a proud South African, not to be originated somewhere? Just address us on that one, so that we get to understand where are you heading to in terms of that approach. The other issue which I want us to address, you to address us, let me quickly go to page 14 of this page. The slides are not numbered, of course, but in terms of the pages, there's page 14. I'll read page 14 with page 15. Page 14, in terms of the source of funding since inception, they've got 49%, 20%, and 32%. If you count those, it comes to 101%. But in expenditure, it's 100%. What happens with 1% which has been counted in the previous page, which has been appeared in the next page? If you look at page 15, you count that expenditure there, it's 100%. But if you count on page 14, 20, 32, and 49, it's 101%. Just tell me what 1% happened in terms of the next page. That is page 15 and page 14. Let me again want you to address on page 11. On page 11, membership fee structure. I think one of our colleagues has asked that question. And we then goes to page 12 in terms of benefits. Let's say the private sector particularly. If you were to want the private sector to be members of South Africa, then the question that has been asked already, the question of what am I going to benefit out of the city? What am I benefiting? Is my money worth spending in this thing or not? This is the question that somebody will ask in terms of that particular one. But let me also refer you to the other page, that is page 10. Tell Jerry about your logo after page 10 on top. That's where they say, have you brought any gold with the Proud South African logo on top? You see, that's the statistics that we'll start today. I don't know how do you monitor this, because we were somewhere on oversight. We were given by one company, the cap, the white cap. They've got a logo from South Africa. But at the bottom of that, small print made in China. It's a product of South Africa, of course, but a small print at the bottom, they're made in China. How do you monitor this? Or whether, if I'm saying I'm South Africa for the logo, then the product is bottom well. Is it how it's supposed to open it? Maybe tell us, address us, how do you monitor that particular one? This is the last page 19. If I'm looking at your structure, HR structure, and I'm looking at page 19, the number there, right on your left-hand side, there are two squares on the left-hand side, consultants and consultants. They are part of the organization structure. Can you tell me whether these consultants that are here, are they retainers in this company, or are they come on a work basis? Because they are part of the organization structure here. And one phrase is consultant with S in the end, and one consultant. Do you have two different structures, right, in terms of this consultant here? Just explain this to me, you know. Because I see you have got two structures of consultants that are operating there. Then the last question here, it's on page 20. You have no equity status, which is a little bit worries me. If you look there on your structure there, I suppose that your top management, your CEO there, that one person there, I suppose the CEO, but go to the middle under semi-skilled, you have got a load of Africans that are under semi-skilled. I didn't see in your presentation your training structure, of course. Right? It's not even appearing yet. Don't you think that at the later stage, there's going to be a problem here? Because once those people, in terms of their career, they move up, we are going to have the skewed in terms of the arrangement here. Because if you look at that semi-skills, we have got 7, 8, 9, times up to 12, of course, which they fall under the Career Protection Committee Equity Act. I don't know if you can even address us there, you see. Well, it seems to me that you are running short when you go up and on a professional basis and skill basis. You are running quickly short of them up there, you know. Just get some addresses on that particular one. I think the person I'll end there this stage. If I have an opportunity, I'll come back. Thank you.
Comrade Charlie, thank you very much. Nobody can fault you for being inattentive. Comrade Gurifant.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll be short. I just want to say, Madam CEO, I truly support what Professor Chen said. If you want to make this thing successful, there has to be support from a government staff. It was initiated by government in any case. And it's about government, and it's about making South Africa, by branding South Africa in essence. I just want to find out from you, the ANC is having two massive conferences this year. The South African Commerce Party is having the same. And COSATU, that's an ardent supporter of this particular program, had on several occasions been very embarrassed where they had products that they were wearing during their conferences, whether it's made in China. I kindly want you to see if you can't sell this product to the political parties that I just spoke to. Because we're supposed to brand, including the DA, of course. I don't know whether they have a conference.
They have a conference.
But all political parties, as well as the IFP, you know, because it's important that at the end of the day, we're all South Africans, and we need to brand South Africa in essence. And I also want to
I'm very concerned that you only have, for the last 5 years, you say five, this document says 6 years, as proud as I've been, that you only have 1,100 companies. I'm extremely concerned because within the DTI community, there are several institutions that do not reflect Proud South African on their documentation. DTI, the mother body, do not reflect Proud South African on their documentation. So if you look for the grass that's greener that side, you better see that you milk it, the ones that's in your territory. And of course, the corporate that you're mentioning here, how many of the government, state enterprise entities are supporting this particular brand? Because if you don't start at home, you're not going to get a pick and place and the spark to support. Because if the government says, we must bring in some kind of a pressure on companies outside, on private companies to support this particular brand, they can only do that if they do that themselves. So if you can just say how much is government, other than adverts, effectively involved in this particular, because that's where you're going to get your money. And if government departments, there's thousands of them. If they support this particular, maybe you don't even need government funding at all. Because maybe we can just hear that, how you deal with that particular process. Thank you.
Comrade Danny, thank you very much. Comrade Sisa, did I see your hand up?
Yes, sir. Chair, let me echo what I said as well in when we have incentives presented to us here, that there's always a strategic reason why any government will always, you know, craft incentives in the context of its economic development. I think in the same breath, there was a rationale for, you know, establishing the program Southeast South Africa, let alone the institution. But that's the rationale of the program itself. And by that I'm expressing my appreciation of the program and the work that has been done. But I'd like to echo as well and reinforce the position of my colleagues that we find it strange that, if one has to be crude, that South African seems to be like... Stepchild, you know, any institution or agency established by, in fact, any component of the state, let alone, it can do just the executive of government, it could be any legislature, it could be judiciary. If it's not performing, you know, it's either it's brought to book or it's closed. Maybe our Smalana is a bit economic, you know, with where. Maybe she should a little bit be more in detail as to what was DTI expecting from Proud South Africa when the money was, or funds were suspended from 2004. And that links with one of the questions that I had as to what accountability. If according to any procedure or rules or legislation, South African is supposed to be accountable to DTI or any other government department, maybe we should even interrogate it ourselves as this committee. Why doesn't that go along with the funding? I mean, these are some of the best practices we usually find. We make decisions and we do not fund those decisions. And also, just as a comment, the issue of monitoring and ensuring and oversight, you know, whether it's done at operational level by DTI or the executive, should be anchored here, because we do not expect Proud South African to monitor and oversee itself. Maybe that's one of the things that should be brutally, you know, interrogated. who exactly is supposed to oversee Proudly South Africa? Because that seems to be a missing link one way or another. Last year I'll make some presentations more formally because of the requests that are made by Proudly South Africa. Let me just add a few things. In terms of the flagship project, I found two areas missing: agricultural products or agribusiness or agro-industry, that whole sector. Any reason? And the other one, handicrafts, something which particularly micro-businesses in South Africa have got a very strong handle on, or a prowess, if I'm to use that word. I'm just reminded by what I saw in Morning Live today, what the Deputy President was doing yesterday. It was World Cup business opportunities. And there was a lady there who was articulating, probably representative of the handicrafts, Omama, and the handicrafts. And it immediately triggered, you know, an understanding to me that 2010 is used as an opportunity for that. Now, wouldn't it have been one of the creative approaches by the South Africans who have done it long before? Because if you pick up Baba Kasmani's point, you know, if you would have looked at handicraft, you could have penetrated anywhere, right to villages, because handicrafts can be made anywhere. And the only thing is to have them properly marketed, not just locally, even for export purposes. And that links me with another question, the issue of, I know there's been a question that has come up even in media before, when the Proudly South African was under intense scrutiny, what is in it for me? That's fine, that's how people take up membership and things, but one burning thing is that we would like to see South African products being promoted once again. Quite a number of micro businesses, one way or another, do their best to have local products. And assuming my position is right, that at this stage in time, the predominance is large corporates, you know. How do we cater for micro businesses if they were to be part of this, you know, institution? Chair, I see there are partnerships, and amongst the partnerships, I'm sorry if I've missed it, I didn't see peace I included, because I'm sure promoting Proudly South African could be linked with the export drive as well, and I already actually listed as the South African Bureau of Standards, then I realized that that partnership is there. Then I said, what about TISA in any case? Another area is the local content vis-a-vis raw material. Sorry, I can't articulate it properly, but I'll use the auto industry as an example. You know, when cars, Mercedes-Benz or Toyota is being done, there is that arrangement of that any country, even South Africa, tries as much as it can to make sure that there is maximized local content in manufacturing a car. I don't know, it's around 20% now, and the target is 30-40%. I'm just raising that, say, amongst other things, do you look into that? Because it might be one thing promoting, you know, Proudly South Africa, and then when you look at the local content, when it comes to raw material, it could be another situation, like Baba Jali has been saying. I don't say that we need to be too idealistic, because some of the raw material may not be obtained in South Africa, but it's an area as part of monitoring and evaluation that should be done. The last point is, if there's time, can Asmandana repeat the ease of impact assessment? I'm sure some of the questions are coming up. In what way do you ensure you are able to pick up or to bring to the fore, you know, an impact assessment of the work that you have done? Because I think that's one of the things that there's always a burning question as to what is in it for me. Have you done it? Do you do it alone as public South Africa? Or do you link it with other surveys, you know, so that you can see that there it is, you know, this is the product or the results of your good work? I'm sure, Chair, that would be amongst other things, one of the basis for us to give or not give support to Proud of South Africa. Thanks, sir.
Comrade Sitha and members, before you, thank you very much. Quite a number of comments and some questions interspersed between the comments. It's now your opportunity to engage with the comments and questions. Memana.
Thank you, Chair. I will also ask some of my team members to respond to some of the questions. Professor Chen, I do agree with you that it needs to be government funded, the Proudly South African campaign or a buy local campaign. Most of our time right now is focusing on recruiting members, on membership fee because of survival status. So we are missing our primary objective. And I think if we had sustainable income, we would do more in terms of our impact on the economy and also reaching out to all the other consumers in the rural area. There's a limitation on our budget. And I do agree we need to be funded by government over a number of years so that we can become sustainable and our credibility can be enhanced again and we develop sustainable or tangible benefits for all our members. Then again, in terms of our trademark, Mr. Laboskakhne, trademark, whether it's registered and all that, it is. And we are working very closely with Adams and Adams in terms of ensuring that people do not use it illegally. There was a question also on compliance. We do have a compliance unit, compliance manager, who manages this for us, going out and assessing whether people are abiding by this and they are not using the logo illegally. We work also with customs, who assist us, and they impound some of the containers that are coming through with a proudly South African logo. Sometimes they bypass us and they land up in consumers' hands, but where possible, we do try. We also work with the National Accreditation Council that assist us. We have an arrangement that when they do go out, especially in KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape, for the manufacturing industry, that they inform us about all the illegal use of the trademark or registered logo. Then the fee structure, for schools, we take on all the schools because there's no fee for schools. We believe that they don't even have enough funds for the children, etc., to run the school. What we want to do is to ensure that when we take on schools on board, we look at the quality of the educational system. We look at the environment. How do they ensure that the school is clean, etc.? We take environmental issues into account to make up for the shortfall in some of the criteria that we have set up. But all schools are welcome to join, and we want to capacitate most of the schools. At the moment, we only have 96 schools on the PSA books. We would like to get more. And it cuts across the private sector to public sector schools at high school level and at primary level and grade, no, whatever. Okay. And the NGOs, Mabusha, would you just take us through the...
Non-governmental organizations are paying 570 income members. And we encourage NGOs from all spheres. We are not specific as to which NGOs can affiliate with us. We are open to all NGOs, really.
As long as they adhere to the four criteria. As long as they adhere to the four criteria. Okay.
So 570 or
570 rands per annum. for NGOs. The other area, when we said review the fee structure, the board would like to review the fee structure and say perhaps it should be less than the 0.1%. We are still negotiating on the fee structure. But if we do reduce the fee structure, we won't have enough income to run the organization. So it's a catch-22 situation at the moment. Then the MOU, in terms of Usobambufu Fund, it's a partnership that if we have events, we will work together on key events where we believe we can share the platform. And it fits in line with both of our objectives. We will then share the platform. Yes, they can use our logo for certain events, and it's the same like Pick and Pay or Spa. They use the logo only on locally made products in their pamphlets. They don't use it for imported products. There's a clear distinction how you need to use the logo. We take them through the steps in terms of that. Then the issue about the GTI again, in terms of Section 21, we were a GTI agency, or we assumed that we were a GTI agency. It's only recently, where the leadership has changed, that we have been informed by the Chief Financial Officer that we have been incorrectly classified as a COCI or as an NGO of the GTI. And initially we asked for some funding, bridging funding from the GTI. They agreed to give us bridging funding for the year 2006 and 7, but we cannot use that funding until the shareholders' compact has been signed. We signed it on our side. We are just waiting for the DG to sign it. We still need clarity in terms of whether it's a once-off funding for only 2006 and 7, or whether they will continue to fund us and maybe to include us in the MTEF process. At this point in time, I must say that it has been clearly communicated to us by the Chief Financial Officer that we are not included in the MTEF process. We are not an agency or a COCI, an NGO of the DTI. That is the status right now. The chairperson and the executive director of NEDLAC tried to communicate this to the DG, but we have not received any information as yet. Then in terms of preferential procurement, we see it as a retention strategy to retain members. We are not saying that at all times proudly South African members must win the big tenders, but at least for them to know that being a proudly South African member, they will get certain points in terms of the procurement process. But it does not necessarily mean that they will be awarded that project. They still have to prove in terms of the deliverables whether they can deliver and whether they meet the cost, because cost is still 80% of the procurement process in terms of that. Then also with the BEE status, we are working with the Chief Director of BEE to see if we can be included in the BEE's Code of Good Practice under Statement 500 and Statement 600 for skills and enterprise development, if it's possible for us to get some points for our members regarding that. I think that's fine. Then in terms of the arts and craft, and I think the link will also give more information regarding that, we do have a lot of arts and craft people on our board. A question was also to say we have all these big organizations. We only have 68 big members. The rest are SMMEs. Only 68 out of the 1,184 are big companies on our books. And we do also have the arts and crafts. We adhere to the standard industrial classification code, which cuts across all economic sectors. So we work with all economic sectors in that area. CEDA, we are trying to establish a relationship with CEDA because we believe we can both work very closely to enhance each other's relationship. But at the moment, it hasn't been signed off in terms of that. Then the reporting structure. Christine, if you can take us through that.
The 40
Sorry, Mr. Glaser, the court instruction in terms of the DTI, just to go back again, we thought that for the last 6 or 7 years, as you say, 6 years, that we were reporting directly to the DTI. It is only recently that we have been informed that we are not a COTI member and an agency member of the DTI. So we are lost, and this is the reason why we've come to the portfolio committee to establish if really we are not part of the DTI. If not, then maybe it can be taken forward to cabinet, where we can then be allocated to another department if possible. The other area in terms of funding also, we did, we thought that maybe all government departments could contribute a certain amount to Proudly South African, and that could make us self-sufficient, and we can look then at reducing the membership fee in terms of that. We were looking at charging government 500,000 rand. That is what we are presenting currently to the city of Joburg and also to the city of Cape Town and to the provinces. But it's a rates and taxes. It comes out of that budget. So there's a lot of issues still to be discussed regarding that. The country of a region or the flag, when Proudly South African was established, as I said in the history, it was said that the country of a region, which is Proudly South African or the made in South Africa, Proudly South African should manage that, and it will then ensure that Proudly South African is sustainable. Then you will not find a lot of these companies using it instead of joining Proudly South African, although we don't coerce anyone to join the campaign at all. It's also in regards to the flag and also the country of a region. Then the 1% rounding of funding. Yes, sir?
Thank you. I think in terms of first of funding, the pie chart that we gave, where you get 101% if you add them, you do the slides on Excel and the pie chart on Excel, and you rounded it off. For membership fees, it's actually 48.5, and for sponsorships, it's 31.5. But because we rounded off to no decimal places, so we rounded off to 49 and 32 respectively.
The membership fee, again, on page 11, as you said, for benefits. My apologies. Membership fee, in terms of page 11, reading it with the benefits. Yes, indeed. The members are complaining that they do not get any return or an impact on their bottom line because they do not get tangible benefits. And the tangible benefits that they are looking for, which are critical, are two. Preferential procurement and getting access to government, even if it's through our membership committee. But those are the things that they are looking for. And really, if you look at the Australian-made logo, all they do not even give them benefits at all. It's only to use the logo. There are no benefits to those Australian companies. They only use the logo. But again, South Africans, we are very different, and we do ask for more in terms of that. Those are the ones that they are looking for, but it seems as if the preferential procurement, it was included in the initial discussions when the recruitment started for membership, for members to join. The logo in terms of white cap, compliance unit, and also for Kusatu, we have set up a compliance unit. Yes, sometimes some of the caps slip us by. We try and go to all our member organizations where we ask companies, especially for corporate items, to procure locally. Then again, on page 19, what is that? Return of companies.
Thank you, Madam. On the organizational structure on page 19, as questioned, the consultants indicated that these administrative-based jobs that are internal to the organization, so they're not outsourced. The two on the left, it's actually two consultants, that's where there's an S. They work with new members, so they retain or they recruit members for us through the sector manager. The one below the compliance manager is the consultant working with the compliance manager on compliance issues. So it's different based jobs.
Okay.
one is compliance and the other one is new and retention of members. On the employment equity table, Proud South African is voluntarily complying with the Employment Equity Act, and we do have a five-year plan in place, and we are only now in our second year of the plan. So we are working at achieving our goals within the next 3 years. And yeah, I do understand your concern with this 722 on the semi-skilled level, but yeah, they are also included in our training, and we're working closely with them on mentoring programs and getting them up to the higher level. Thank you.
The sector consultants, just to add, are also assistants to the sector managers. So they are the back office when the sector managers go out and meet with the members, and they manage the back office for them. And basically, that's what we do. But then again, for staff retention and career development, we have got that in place. We would like to promote firstly internally before we go outside. And we also train, sometimes I mentor some of the staff myself personally to ensure that they then can apply for certain positions that are there. We are looking at that specific semi-skilled area to give them training skills. The one is the project management one, because they clearly don't have any project management skills, so they are going on a training course in that, and also in corporate governance training. We also agree with him that Proudly South African is truly the essence of the country. It is the main brand in the country for the national identity. In terms of the products made in China, I can safely say to you that last year, Kusatu, through the President, Mr. Madisha, made an announcement that they will adhere to buying only proudly South African products or products made in South Africa. So if that happens again, I'll be truly surprised. But we will ensure that perhaps for all political parties and also for big organizations, that we ensure that they buy proudly South African corporate items and also when they hand them out. Then again, in terms of several, what you said in terms of the number of institutions that we have, that for the last 5 years or 6 years, we only have 1,184. Those are active members. If we look at renewed members, those that have still got to pay, do we have the slide?
No. Go down.
If you look at the overall membership statistics, it's 1,703. It's active renewal payment due and renewal payment overdue. So on our database, we have 1,703, and we try and get all those members in. We did not include the cancelled members at all. In the when we had that bad media, they were saying that we had 2,500 members, and we've now gone right down to we lost 1,000 members. It's actually incorrect. It's all the members that had actually shown an interest in Proudly SA since its inception. So what you are seeing here is the accurate figures. We and that's the reason why I'm just focusing on active members today. Those members that are paying for this current year are 1,184.
And the reason for the decline at the end, especially from Feb, that's when we started doing the cleanup in terms of members who were sitting in the books that had outstanding fees for previous years, but which were still marked as active and renewal payments. It's part of the cleanup of the database. That's why we're sitting on 1,303 members.
I do believe that, yes, sometimes we believe we're a stepchild. We sometimes feel very lost when we are in a corner because we don't get any funding from anywhere, and it's quite difficult for us. And especially now with the dynamic business environment that we are in, with 2010, you find that most of our members, like F&B, they are still considering whether they want to be a member of Proud of South Africa because they are now sponsoring 2010. So we do get those competitors coming in regarding that. Then accountability again, which I have addressed in terms of the suspension, that we assumed that we were part of the DTI. We were informed recently that we are not part of the DTI at all. Monitoring and oversight, I agree with you. We need a higher body to provide oversight, even over the board, to see whether we are implementing accordingly, especially with the resources of members. Then in terms of flagship projects, those flagship projects cut across all economic sectors, so including agriculture, etc. If we do outreaches, we just don't focus on pick and pay, etc. We also go to the rural areas where the farmers are or the farm workers and try and educate them on Proud of South Africa and in terms of the benefits also. We also ensure that especially for arts and crafts, we exhibit the products of the arts people, whether they are from the city center or in the deep rural areas, we ensure that they do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr.
Chair,
I would like to just elaborate a little bit. I think one of the questions was about TISA. We work closely with TISA on several projects. For instance, the arts and crafts specifically. Proud of South Africa is part of the National Arts and Crafts Steering Committee with numerous other arts and crafts organizations, as well as the different provinces, the nine provinces that form part of that committee. And Proud of South Africa also worked very closely with TISA last year and this year on a one-of-a-kind trade show where they've identified, they do a national road show where they identify crafters throughout the country in all the provinces. They select them and then they form part of the exhibitors at the National One-of-a-Kind Trade Show. And TISA then organizes missions, they inward missions where they bring buyers to come and visit the One-of-a-Kind Trade Show. And a lot of business have been created for those crafters through the One-of-a-Kind Trade Show. And then obviously we're working closely with TISA also. We started a project called Master Crafters, where we identify crafters that have been in the crafting industry for many, many years, but they haven't been receiving any recognition. So we identify those crafters, and then we work with them throughout that year, and the next year we identify new master crafters, and that's how we try to build up a database of established master crafters, the older crafters, that they, when they die, that the craft and these skills don't die with them, that we can actually transfer those skills to the up-and-coming crafters.
Again, local content versus raw materials. Because of globalization, initially we said 100% local content, but because there are now issues around joint ventures, mergers and acquisitions, we've reduced 100% local content to 50.1% local content. And because of that, and this is what the board had agreed to. The GTI, before they decided that, or are still discussing it, that we are not a member, they were saying that the 50.1% was too low. It should at least be 75% and not 50.1%. But currently, it's 50.1%. I wonder if I've answered all the questions. Is there any that I haven't answered?
Thank you very much for the rejoinder. The substantive questions have been answered. I just want to check with members if anybody wants to make a further comment or question before I summarize and chart the way forward. Okay, if we can keep it focused, succinct. The first up was Mem Chen, followed by Mr. Labuskagni, Comrade Sisa, and Comrades Hashmani Lali. That mic and got your hand up. Yeah. Let us just be focused and mindful of time. I must also say that obviously this will not be the first and the last engagement.
It will be part of a process. So don't seek to ask or make all the comments that you want to do today. Just point, flag the main ones right now, because I want to chart the way forward with regard to government and other departments. Thanks, Comrade Zad. Prof. Chen?
Thank you. No, I always shop. So, you know, Nathan, I really have, you know, I really have to show you my sympathy. You are not only a adoption, you are an orphan, all right? Maybe you will be the adoption to the committee now, okay? However, I don't know how many years you are the CEO. No. And I know the people only grow under their very harsh pressures because, you know, with your presentation, I must say you are very, very knowledgeable. That is, I have to give you my credit, all right? However, the certain things I think that you have to be very careful because you're talking about pick and pay, then using some product of the product essay. Good now, right? So you also say that, you know, at the moment because you are short hand and also the short of the funds, you cannot even check the quality. So you must be very careful because of if the people using your product of South African and the product coming is inferior, then it is destroyed totally. You know, and I do understand that at the moment you don't even have time to do these things because all your manpower is trying to get funds all over the place. And this is, you know, I really struggling to ask, you know, maybe the chairperson or can the committees, you know, to write to the DG or to the minister to say this organization, you know, the institution has to be carried by the government funds. You know, that is a little bit ridiculous, no? That is, you know, what government asks one institution to set up and then, you know, you're just like a business person running around to get some funds. If you can do that, you open your own business. All right, sorry to say that. The other thing I want to say about local content, 40%, I will have one suggestion to you. Because, you know, I'm not so sure what you are thinking about this local content of 40%. All right, and also it's a very ridiculous CPI, say 75% or 51%. Nobody can do it unless you have 100%. That is the raw materials in this country. But this is a shortage in South Africa at the moment. It is raw materials. All right, I know that other countries they do. You have two steps. You can have the 100%, you know, less South African, the product of South African, or you can say fabric, you know, import 100% made in South Africa. I want to say, in USA, they also have, the fabric is USA fabric, but made in country so-and-so. Because otherwise, you know, even 40% is, you know, you're cheating all over the manufacturers, which is, they might import the fabric from other countries. And what you think about if they import fabric from the SACO countries, our SACO countries, so what are you going to do this product for? You know, I think that you must also debate in intern of yours because 40% is not going to, it's not to me, you know, it is not going wrong. Thank you now.
Prof. Chen, thank you. Mr. Lavaskar?
Yeah. Trying to think of four or five issues I wanted to raise, but to cut them short. I agree. I think a lot of work is required on this, Mr. Chairman, because, you know, it's, on the one hand, flashing through my mind was how does this compare with the old Buy South Africa campaign, you know, which was, I think, a government run. I think we have problems with questions of, you know, this is now a serious wrong. Where's Mr. Willifont? He's gone. You know, his question as to whether the political parties. Now, what we're going to tell Mr. Willifont, his party would probably have a problem with the requirement of high quality, but let's leave that, you know. But I mean, it's interesting. Couldn't the political party get the logo? I think it's right. And for how much, which is more important for political party. But, you see, it's very of great concern, benefits. Now, I know business is benefit, but where do you draw the line? I mean, you can say we want tangible benefits, but, you know, this proudly South African, to my mind, is broader than a cheap commercial transaction. Obviously, I'm not in business, but you have an element of patriotism in this that is, to my mind, is more important. The local content, which was touched on, I agree. I was going to raise it myself. You should have a formula based on value or added value. You know, you might have import certain cloth.
which we can't get in South Africa, but the rest of the product and the added value is something to look at. Then the when you come to quality, which is also a problem, you know, should one look at localizing this, if we're looking for a local, with the SABS? Because, all right, there's a different mandate, but, you know, do these, or is this not a slight duplication when you look at the quality side? But whether you're looking purely at the, shall I say, the patriotic side, it should be run by a combination of government and non-government. Otherwise, you have the problem of, you know, if you don't do it, you're unpatriotic. And then you're expecting businessmen to say, well, you know, I'm trying to survive. So those are issues I think most probably would have to be taken on board and looked at when we come back for a second follow-up discussions. And then finally, of course, it would be mischievous if I think with Standard or FNB who are thinking of maybe withdrawing because of something else, would you then put in a notice in the newspaper, Bank ABC is now no longer proudly South African? Let's keep them on board.
Mr. Lovenkamp, thanks for the letter of thinking.
Thanks, sir. I'm sure Babala Baskarsen will agree with me. Even patriotic business or patriotic bourgeois does need to survive. Mm-hmm. That we need to agree to. In fact, that's one of the comments I want to indicate that I suppose one of the things or one of the benefits of spin-off from private South African work is actually it serves the parameter of patriotism one way or another. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're already ISO compliant and you're on sharing that compliance, but you are encouraging people to buy South Africa. Actually, it might be interesting to see how your work would compare with the customer satisfaction surveys that are being done. Check. One of the things that I'd like to highlight is that the presentation referred to a regional perspective, but didn't tease it out in full. Of course, given the limitations of time, I definitely propose that we look at it later, but it needs to be highlighted because whilst building the South African economy, it is an integral part of SADC. In fact, today, the minister is going to be answering, giving an answer to that, you know, the progress. Yes, progress on the regional economic integration. So we're part of the 150 million SADC community. I strongly support the fact of creative utilization of resources beyond what has been said. Resources in all forms that has been triggered by the fact that there's a suggestion that all three spheres of government must be approached, not only the national department. You know, remember, we've got about 385 municipalities, you know, that says a lot in terms of LEDs. In particular, Chair, I think what I sense is that we all support the continued existence of the PSA, but we obviously have to be quite clear that we would like to see it being formally overcoming the stepchild, adopted child, orphan status, and be part of quality. As far as I understand, PSA appears when the list of quota members are listed. We should, one way or another, interact with the department and whoever else to ensure that funding strategy is for a limited period with the proviso that a viable plan for sustained existence is approved by DTI, if we're saying that DTI is to ensure that host the PSA, air structured PSA, you know, being a public entity, obviously. The last point is the linkage to incentives. I assume one or another preferential procurement is seen as an incentive. But I think given that the whole regime of incentives is being overhauled by DTI, it would be helpful that you know, part of the South African becomes part of that process so that they can see what, in what way can they, in a reciprocal way, and, you know, influence that initiative. But the bottom line is that TSA should no longer be an adopted child now. Bye, thank you.
Comrade Sita, thank you.
What we're saying, you know, for the purposes of everyone, not only for the CEO and the team, what we're saying, political parties, whenever they have conferences or other activities, they must make sure that what they utilize, like the crossing, catering and so on, is by South Africa, you know, rather than actually buy, you know, going for the logo themselves. You know, the material, the t-shirts that were used in the conference of the DA, which were yellow or orange, I don't know. The DA should have even, you know, invited the Proudly South African team to actually assist them to ensure that everything that they use there is made in South Africa. You know, and maybe I need someone in the government buy in. Departments and institutions of government, whether they are buying in, like that is CISA has indicated, the local government and all other institutions that are there in local government, including Parliament. Parliament is beginning this week to host a youth conference here, youth Parliament. Mm-hmm. You know, the legislatures, I know, they are going to be doing the same thing. So we are saying those institutions and of government and government itself, we must ensure that we work with them and we ensure even the committee sections, the committees, our own committee, we don't know where they buy those biscuits from and the cheese and so on. Is it made in South Africa or have they bought those things from your members, members of the Club of South Africa, or they just actually went anywhere and bought things that are not even belonging to your members? So we're saying we must strengthen that arm and ensure that Proudly South Africa becomes a reality. Thank you.
That has many. Thank you. Comrade Lash? You agree with your right. That's your mic.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Just one question. I think I'm still worried about the decision taken by DTI. Was it just arbitrary that you are no more our child, or is it, did something happen? I see in the memorandum of understanding, was there any breach of contract somewhere? Because it clearly says that they will withhold funding if there's any breach of contract by TSA. And just wondering to myself, who takes a decision just to disown the PCA? Would that be, maybe it's an unfair question to you, but would that be a cabinet or the financial officer within the DTA can just decide to do that? I'm just worried, I'm not very clear who can simply do that. Decide that you are no more in the coaching. I'm not sure whether you are in a position to can answer that, but it's very worrying. Thank you,
Comrade Mike, thank you very much. Memanana and your delegation, I'll give you another chance for a rejoinder, and then I'll
Professor Chen, I do agree with her statement, Regarding the 50.1%, not 40%, it's 50.1%. We will go back to the drawing board and we will debate that internally and see what we can do. It is a big challenge for us, especially in terms of monitoring, and especially before we issue out the certificate to the member that has applied. This is where we spend a lot of our time on assessing the 50.1%. But I agree with you, we will take that forward to the board and we will debate it further, taking into account your comments regarding that. Then again, Mr. Labuschagne, the Proudly SA, yes, it definitely evolved from the Buy South African campaign. That's where it comes from. I think the Buy South Africa was initially started in 1990, and it was then taken into the whole research of establishing a Buy Local campaign. The tangible benefits, I agree with you. It's more about patriotism, but again, the return on investment is critical for some of the members. So where we can assist them, it's important that we do that. Quality, when you say maybe there isn't, excuse me, there might be a duplication with SABS and the South African Bureau of Standards, etc. There isn't really that duplication because the logo is an assurance of quality. That is what it's saying. When you see that logo, it means that product is assured of quality, what you buy, and it's for export purposes. That product can be exported, for instance. Then, and yes, I think I'll take your advice. I must advertise and put an ad that our members that are pulling out of the campaign are no longer members of Proudly South Africa, and maybe see the reaction in terms of that. Then, in terms of the barometer, the impact of assessment, we do it through Makino, but we would like to do more about the assessment on Proudly South African. We need to have a quantitative and qualitative research with focus group research, and it will also show that that indeed we are 90, you know, that people say that they are proudly South African because they are proudly South African, and it can change the face of the country in terms of that. Regional plan. At the moment, we were looking within the country, developing a regional plan, because we are only in Johannesburg. And we thought that we can then divide the country into three main inland regions. The coastal region, which is your Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Eastern Cape, because of proximity in terms of that, and the other inland areas, taking that into account. Again, going to SADC regions or SACU, We share information with Namibia, Mozambique. I have made presentations to them. Tunisia, for instance, in October, the ambassadors asked me to go to Tunisia because they would like to have a proudly Tunisia. Nigeria, have a proudly Nigeria. They would like to get examples of how we have established our Buy Local campaign. So they would like to establish Buy Local campaigns also. In terms of funding, we agree with you. We need support of Proudly South African. We really need financial support desperately. And we will ensure that we adhere to the corporate governance structure. And if it's from government, yes, we know the PFMA is one of the areas that we need to abide towards. If it comes from local government, it will be the Municipal Finance Management Act. So we are very much aware of that, and we will adhere to those processes. Then in terms of being included in the procurement or incentive processes of the DTI, we hope we can be included in the incentive processes. And if you do, through the chair, it's taken to the minister. Okay. Then again, Dr. Hasmeni, government buy-in, I didn't answer you the first time. Yes, we do have government departments and municipalities that support us. At Chokweni, at our last homegrown awards, we were given an award for being the best municipality in the country. We worked very closely with the GFA, and with the Department of Education. And at the beginning, at the inception of the organization, it was agreed that all government departments must support Child Care South Africa. And when we do go to the provinces and municipalities, we all know. And I think they are more embarrassed that they haven't implemented it. They are aware. And I think we just need that to be strengthened again through the Trade and Industry Portfolio Committee. Mr. Mage, in terms of the breach of contracts, I believe in, again for you, Ma'am Chen, I joined the organization 18 months ago, and we then implemented the turnaround strategy. And it goes to what Mr. Mage says in terms of breach of contract. In 2004, the DG, the former DG, was really not happy with the corporate governance processes of Proud South Africa. And as a result, he suspended the funding because he knew it would have an impact on him on the based on the rules of the Public Finance Management Act. It was suspended until the organization turns around. And that's the reason why we went back to the DGI to say, is it possible to lift that suspension? But the feedback that we do get now is that we are really not an agency or an NGO of the DGI.
Thank you very much, Mayor Manan. The general point that I would like to make is that in terms of process and principle, in any institution and less so in government, you cannot have a situation that you provide for an unfunded mandate. You give an entity or somebody a responsibility to carry out and you do not fund the responsibility or the aims and objectives that you seek to achieve. What we will do is to engage the Minister of the Department of Trade and Industry to find out exactly what the status quo is currently and seek to ensure relevant funding. We'll write a formal letter to the Minister and also engage through questions in Parliament. All parties can do so. There are many aspects and issues that have been raised in regard to the importance of proudly South Africa, the work that's done there. So also when we articulate the issues by way of questions in the House, it gives wider currency than just the reply from the Minister. But all the political parties engage it and it gets out into the media what was discussed in Parliament. So that's also an avenue that you will utilize. And then obviously there's the issue which it is clear the Portfolio Committee agrees to in principle. The patriotic nature of the mandate and responsibility that you have, the importance to the country, to industry, and the need to find the requisite support from business and also from all levels of government. So what we also made mention of earlier was that of meets, this is the first meeting. It being the first meeting, it would not be realistic to expect that you would have been able to table all the issues that you wanted to table. Nor would it be realistic to expect that the members of Parliament would have been able to engage on all the issues that you have tabled here. For the beginning of a process, this is an adequate engagement. But as you have said, we will keep a tab on the developments and then at a future mutually conducive date, we'll call you back for further engagement and feedback. Between now and then, we'd also have had the opportunity to engage with the department and all the relevant people.
on the matter, so that by the time we all get back next time, there would be progress from your side, and also progress from our side, where we can say, here are some of the issues that we have been able to articulate and the responses that we have been able to draw from the relevant authorities. But what we can ensure is, because of the importance that even the presidency has allocated correctly to this program, is that it cannot be left where it is the responsibility of no one, but everyone wants to gain from the fruits that it brings to bear. So, in the parlance earlier used here, it cannot be allowed to be a stepchild or an orphan with them. So, all of us in this room, we've got the common objective, as we said at the beginning of this meeting, to ensure that we do our best for South Africa from the various aspects that we engage with the responsibility. And correctly, jointly, we'll seek to carry out that mandate. I would like to thank the CEO of Proudly South Africa and all the members of the delegation. And I would also like to thank the members, and we'll exercise to keep this matter on our table. And as I said, engage the minister and the ministry. Thank you very much, everyone, including the members of the Fourth Estate and everyone else who had an interest in the meeting. Good folks, Mr. Lovis Gatney, that's it. Done. I'm told because you'll work so hard, there's a finger lunch on the way to this venue. So it seems that you have earned your lunch. So everybody is encouraged to remain to participate of our humble lunch. Thank you.
There's a display there of a South African product.
I am dealing with this, and we are trying to organize around here. Right here.
You can, of course. You need to put things in.
He's got a
copy of the presentation in the annual report.
I'm the dream come.
Thank you.